brothers and sisters here in Kansas, something about the work of God among you here has created a stirring in the hearts of some of your brothers and sisters to extend your blessings to people and groups of people who have not known those blessings. As you think about that, and as you rejoice in that, would you allow me to offer just a very few words of encouragement to you as you work together as local churches in this calling of Bible translation and church planting? As our brother mentioned, in our local congregation, there is a couple that ended up being, I believe, the first couple actually on the field from All Nations Bible Translation. And our congregation, after prayer and consideration over a period of several years' time, slowly came to the realization and the very united agreement that, yes, we would like to be a part of sending them and supporting them and yes, even blessing them to be a part of if God wills, that someday as the Word of God is taught, there could be a local church among the Mixtec people that would spring up. And we're not insisting that that would be a German Baptist church like our background. We recognize that there are principles that you and we hold very dear that are clear in this Word of God. We expect those will be taught in the Word of God. But we recognize that it can be an indigenous church, a church among them. And so we're thankful for that. Now, just a few thoughts. I think I have maybe about 12 points jotted down that I would like to share with you quickly. Some of our brothers throughout the day today as the ministers met, and that was such a blessing, and some of the other supporters, just such an humbling and honored experience to sit among you and see your godly countenances and honest concern and insightful thoughts as you work together. This evening, some thoughts were shared as well. Some of these may be repetitious and certainly not complete, but just a few things I would like to share. Point number one, could I encourage you, and I don't know these families very well. I've met them. I'm blessed to meet them. You know them. You've known them for a long time. I have an idea that if they're like my wife and I, they're probably not perfect, but they're growing and they're a part of you. And God is using them just like He's using you in other contexts. So point number one, I would like to encourage you to consider embracing this opportunity as a church vision, not just as someone's individual idea that I guess we'll tolerate or I guess we'll let them do it if that's kind of what they're on to or what they want to do. No, I love the power and the influence of stable, functional, biblical, local, loving churches uniting together in both local and global ministry. Much better than individual efforts. I know that sometimes God has tremendously blessed individual efforts. In my background in the past, it's not that way now, but it used to be largely that way, more individual or private efforts. But now we are seeing so much more the blessing of working together as the body of Christ like they did there at Antioch. You know, I remember a brother telling me this one time. He was a Beachy brother, by the way. He said, you know, my observation is you either send them out or they'll walk out. That may be a little bit like what our brother said. We're going to lose some young people either to the world or to martyrdom. Which would you rather? But I think there's a point there. That as we have a vision out, and I believe you do, we could learn so much from you. As we have a vision out, I think we can send instead of having walking out. More proactive expanding equals less reactive dividing. And may I suggest that a marching, mobile, mission-minded army is not nearly as inclined to look towards the local leeks and garlics in the roadside stands. I really believe that. Point number two. All parts of the body of Christ are important. The Bible makes that clear in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and many other places. You know, in Antioch, the Spirit of God said, "Separate unto me, some men for the work where I've called them. But did you notice there's a list of men there? Most of the men stayed at Antioch. Two of them were sent out. And they did take some others, Mark, later Luke, and others. But all parts of the body are important. In that scene at Antioch, it's important to remember that a larger number stayed behind than those that went. But both were important, and the Spirit of God was at work. You know, moving overseas or somewhere else to work is not a special effort to somehow achieve a special hero status. It can be very important, but living a noble, gospel-centered, sacrificial life in Arlington and Hutchinson, Kansas, is also of great importance in the Lord's eyes. And the one is needful to accomplish the other. And isn't it beautiful how God has arranged things? You know, the Bible says the Lord places in the body the members as it pleases us. No, it says as it pleases him. My father emphasized that to me as a young man when I was doing a little complaining. He said, just remember, son, the Bible says the Lord places the members in the body not as it pleases you, but as it pleases him. Furthermore, the Bible says the Lord has tempered the body together. That word means co-mingled. And I like to describe putting cream in a cup of coffee. Have you ever poured cream in coffee in a clear mug? And I like coffee. And sometimes you see it kind of separated. It's not really mixed until you get one of those stirring sticks and temper it together. You co-mingle the coffee, and then it's all working together. It's all good coffee. Well, be that as it may, the Lord tempers the members of the body, and all parts are important. A third point, I'd like to encourage you to consider from the Scripture the thought of an indigenous church. And you probably already have. Our brothers have already mentioned that thought. That just means of or originating or occurring naturally in a particular region. It means native. And I guess I'll just add this thought that Thessalonica wasn't Philippi. And Philippi wasn't Antioch. And Antioch wasn't Jerusalem. There was some variation, but there were some principles of truth that we find as threads that were common in all of those places. Praise God. A fourth point. Consider with me the Romans 10 chain, we'll call it. And you're familiar with Romans 10. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time. I need to wrap this up. But you remember how in Romans 10, Paul, as he speaks about his brethren and the Gentiles, and he recognizes that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he launches into this question. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's a problem. And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? That's impossible. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, that's a problem too. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I like that. Do you know that as a Bible is translated into a language, it is glad tidings of good things? Praise God. How's that going to happen except they be sent? The Romans 10 chain. The blessing and the belonging and the commissioning and the love and the sense of ownership of a family is very powerful for all of us. There may be someone here. I don't know you. There probably are. Maybe several who didn't grow up without a loving family. And I know from observation and communication how extremely painful that can be. But for those of us who did grow up in a stable, functional, loving family, and if you didn't grow up with that, I trust you've now found that. You know what a blessing and what a sense of security and belonging that is. That's the blessing of ascending church. It will be very powerful for these families that are considering Bible translation if they can feel that they are extensions of you. You know, how many fathers have said, son, remember whose boy you are when you go out there, and sometimes that maybe was a little bit self-serving. But There was something with me, and I've had a godly father, I've been blessed with that, that there is a certain sense in my realization and my conscience to this very moment as I stand here of the godly teaching and influence and love of my father. There's a certain sense of belonging and commissioning and blessing that I received from him. And that is very powerful in the body of Christ, I believe, if those who are sent out have that same feeling in the family of God. A fifth point. May I encourage you to take ownership of this effort. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. These are our people. You know, the disciples, and when they were persecuted and when they were finally beaten and harassed a bit there, I think it's in Acts 4 or 5, it says something like this. It says when they were released, they went unto their own company. You ever notice those words? They went to their own company. Now, I feel very accepted by you here tonight. Maybe I don't know very well, but I feel accepted by you. But there's a certain sense which we don't know each other that well, but when we go back to Washington, there's a certain sense that I've returned to my own company. And the apostles went to their own company. And I believe when I'm with born-again Christian people, I'm with my own company. But I think there's an intention that there be families of believers, that there's a sense of belonging, a sense of ownership. These are our people. The disciples knew who their own company was. These families want to remember who their own company was. The church at Arlington, the church at Center. You know, it's a blessing when children grow up praying for people that they know. It's such a blessing to me to see little children in our congregation now, whether it's for Merle and Judy Flory over in Thailand and in Asia, or Tom and Laurie Moeller down in the Dominican Republic, or some brothers that are in a little church plant up in Alaska, or Ethan and Lene beginning to learn a foreign language down in southern Mexico. They pray for people they know. It isn't just pray for the Word of God somewhere. Now it's for someone they know, who when they return home, they can shake their hand. And our elder brother from Asia remembers all the children's name, and they've been praying for him. And there's something powerful in that. Something powerful in that. You know, the girl named Rhoda knew when Peter came and was knocking at the gate, and they were all in there praying that he'd be released. And they didn't believe it, that it was actually him. But she knew, finally, it's Peter out there. She knew who her own company was, her own people. The church must be able to have a sense of mutual trust with families, and to be able to trust their families in other areas. And the families in the field must be able to trust their churches and leaders. And all of this places this ownership concept places a large responsibility on the church. It also places a large responsibility on Levi and Angie and Matthew and Andrea. This places a large responsibility on you as well to be worthy of that trust. And God bless you. Well, point number six. I'll hurry on. I want to sow this seed of thought. I don't know how this journey will unfold for you, but consider the reality that it may call you at times to work together with churches of different administrations. You know, the apostle recognized that in 1 Corinthians 12. We recognize that. It's our every desire to be extremely respectful of you, brethren, from whom we have learned so much in your circles. But there are some differences probably in the administration of my background. I didn't have any choice in that. That's where I was born. You didn't have any choice in that. That's where you were born. Or maybe you did have some. I don't know. But be that as it may, there are differences of administration. And sometimes these efforts cause us to work together a bit with differences of administrations that share common principles, common goals, a common Savior, a common gospel. It can be done. You know, I had to think, if there would suddenly be a fire that would break out in the kitchen or over here somewhere, or outside something would collapse and we knew there were children from this congregation that were under that out there, I doubt if we'd sit around and figure out, okay, wait, let's have the center folks go help the center children and they're... You're German Baptist, so why don't you just... We'd all work together. And we wouldn't be very hard to figure out We wouldn't fuss over who's going to lead, who's going to... We would just get it done together. I think we'd work quite efficiently. And I think God is calling us to have that kind of a spirit as we work together. And I have been so encouraged in my faith in Jesus Christ, in the reality of John 17, Jesus' prayer, to see, to be privileged to see in these last number of years, God's people working together in amazing ways, in unusual places, while still showing graciousness and respect for each other's settings and each other's background. Point number 7, prayer support. Prayer support going both ways. We need to pray for these families both now and as they go out, praying fervently. I think sometimes, and we've had these experiences where someone said, "Did you pray yesterday afternoon? I was facing a serious dilemma and something happened and there was a breakthrough." Prayer. Prayer. Much has been said about that already, but I want to add this. Levi and Angie and Matthew and Andrea, I want to encourage you to pray too for the home church. There's something about that. I sense the prayers of our brothers from our home congregation at Cascade Valley in Washington. As they pray for us, as they know that various things that we're facing on the home front, and they assure us of their prayers for us. Pray. Prayer support. That was number 7. I have 12. Number 8, spiritual emotional support. I'll just quickly say, can you prayerfully sense a need? Those of you who will be communicating, can you tell a tone of voice when it's just a little bit discouraged? Can you sense in a letter there's stress building? Maybe it's time to reach out in some way. Spiritual and emotional support. God will call you to do that. And I know your love will cause you to do that as well. A 9th point, financial support. Again, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's something about what we're investing in that we tend to think about. And the apostle, didn't he say, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Point number 10, visit support. Visit support. I don't know how that'll be, but just ponder it in advance. You know, the Apostle Paul said one time, he said, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Another time he said, take Mark and bring him with you. Mark and Paul had had some differences, but now he was saying, bring Mark when you come. He's profitable for me to the ministry. And I hear him telling Timothy, would you hurry and come before winter? And by the way, would you bring the books and also the parchments? Oh, that cloak that I left with the Carpus at Troas, would you bring that cloak? Some visit support. And it's good to check on the timing, be respectful of the timing. And in our congregation, there have been, even in a couple years' time, there was one time that we sensed that our sister who was alone there could use some extra encouragement. She was honest enough. I talk to them almost weekly when they get where they can communicate, not every week. And our ministry had asked me to be the minister that was kind of a direct link there, although others occasionally contact them as well. We sent a young sister down. It wouldn't have worked necessarily just to send anyone there, but there was the right sister, the right single girl that was up for the job and that fit in well and was just an encouragement. She spent a month there. Another young couple just got married and took a honeymoon to Mexico. And guess what? At the end of their honeymoon, they spent some days on the coast. But at the end of their honeymoon, they got a rental car and they headed out. They visited the missionary couple. What an encouragement. Visit support. An 11th point, proactive communication. Proactive communication is so important for spiritual success. When it's possible, it isn't always possible. How are you doing? How's your progress? What are your challenges? How is your devotions, brother? How are you doing in your marriage? Are you experiencing some stresses you hadn't counted on? How are the children doing? Are they responding well? What about the other children they're playing with? How's your moral purity? How's your sense of connection? Are you feeling disconnected? Locally there, Our deacons have done a good job at being very proactive, both with the finances and reaching out in various ways. One of the brothers has taken it upon himself to take pictures and send special outlines of talks and things and make sure it gets to the folks that are out in other areas. And those little things make such an encouragement. Sometimes there's a little special gift pact organized when someone's going down, and a lot of little letters and signatures and little gifts can go. Lots of ways. Proactive communication. Well, I want to close with a 12th and final point. Consider the spirit of Romans 16, the last chapter of Romans. Let me just take the time to read quickly. I'm not going to hardly comment on it, but just a few verses to you. Think about the spirit of helping, of blessing that the apostle experienced. He said this. Listen, just a few verses. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church at Centuria. By the way, it's okay to belong to a local church. She was a servant of a particular church, the church at Centuria. I commend unto you that sister, Paul said, servant of the church at Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for she has been a succorer of many and of myself also. See the spirit of that sister? Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles have been blessed by this couple. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, and so forth. I'll skip down a little bit. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ, and so forth. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labored in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. The Spirit of Romans 16. I love this chapter because the apostle isn't afraid to name names. These were folks who made a difference. These were couples, these were brothers, these were sisters. There's a high percentage of sisters in that list who Paul said have been my helpers, they've been my succorers, they've laid down their life, they've been a tremendous blessing. As we cultivate that as churches, sending out the blessing with families from us of the Word of God and the blessing that you're experiencing tonight of the Church of Jesus Christ. May God bless you.